Oh, lift your hands to heaven. All I am is yours. For we are because you did it. And Lord, we just come to you tonight and stand in the awesome presence of who you are. And remembering those things that you've brought us through, where we can stand right before you, giving you our heart, giving you our will, giving you our hurts, giving you all that we have, that we may surrender to you. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound, Father, as we repent for those things that have offended you in our life. Wash us with the precious blood of the Lamb and the stripes of Jesus the Christ, healing us and filling us with your Spirit that we may be one with you. Open our eyes, Papa. Remove the scales from our eyes and the hardening from our hearts, the deafness from our ears, and the guard over our mouth to try to prevent us from speaking those things that you desire. But put a guard over them of those things you don't desire. Holy Father, you said, call me Master. We're nothing without you. And we call on the name, the only name where man can be saved, the only name where man can be rescued, the only name where demons flee, the only name where healing is manifested, the only name where releases the anointing, the only name, the name above all names, Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. And Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to go through trials and tribulations, and we count them joy because there's always somebody in worse condition than we are. But Lord, those that are in worse condition, we ask that you'll rescue and have mercy upon. We ask, Father, that you'll bring revival to this country. We repent for the sins of this country, Lord. You've allowed our eyes to see the disasters of what's happening. Floods, oil spills, earthquakes, volcanoes, all kinds of things, famines and pestilence. Jesus, you're allowing our eyes to know what's happening and where we stand. Again, have mercy. And we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We ask that you'll protect her and guide her and draw your people home safely, Father. As we call destructive fire down upon every Satan's altars and every high place of Satan globally, every pagan worship, we call destructive fire down on all of their altars and sever all of their financial support in the name of Jesus. And we speak blessings and peace to Jerusalem and Israel, your people, the body of Christ in this country. Lord, as your body rises and stands up for the truth, as your body begins to fight more and more and more to hold on to her culture, Lord, give us the boldness to stand firm, to fight, to not be moved, nor lose those things that you've granted us, but take ground in every area of our workplace, of our outreaches, taking ground wherever we go, that we may expand your kingdom and bring glory to your name. Establish your people that others may see your character. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody? Blessed and highly flavored. You know, I sense, after Sunday, when we prayed and broke all of that garbage off, there was a cleansing. There was a wonderful cleansing that was happening. And so many times we don't fully understand, and we don't have to understand, but we get glimpses of understanding and the things that God is getting ready to do or what he's doing right then. And in that cleansing that was brought forth Sunday, it was a preparation for what's coming. You know, sometimes there's got to be that cleansing and washing so we can get an impartation. And in that, in other words, so we can approach with a pure heart. And by approaching with a pure heart and clean hands and a clean mind, pure mind, we're able to receive something more from God. You know, he knows that if he gives us something and we're not in position, he knows it'll be stolen. You know, there's something important that we've got to comprehend. One of the things that the Word of God does is that it exposes what position is. But the anointing is what puts you in position. Only the anointing can put you in position. The Word of God decrees what the position is. But the anointing puts you in position. That's why so many people, they can quote scriptures like crazy and still be out of position. Because it's the anointing that puts you in position. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing convicts. The anointing brings the mirror in front of you. You can't escape the anointing. But you can reject the anointing. Does everybody understand that? See, when you're willing to allow God to deal with you in every area, he'll expose it. So the anointing is going to cause you to get in position. The Word of God is going to tell you about the position. So everybody got this. And because God is releasing more of his anointing, you're finding more and more stuff happen. You're finding more exposure. You're finding out whether you're in love with the Word or in love with the person. You're finding out where you are, what idols are in your life. You know, we may decree that Jesus is number one, but then there's things that you don't realize that he's actually number two. And he begins to expose these things in our life. Because he wants us to get to a place where he's number one in everything, no matter what it is, but in everything. And as I was driving this afternoon, I said, Lord, I haven't heard anything basically what you want to talk about tonight. And he said, one culture. I said, one culture. He says, when you're done, I'll meet you there and I'll tell you about it. But he began to impart to me certain things about one culture and expand my vision. And I began to see certain things about one culture. Now, we have a teaching called Breaking Cultural Ties, which is important. But there's something about, you know, he's not only restoring the church to its original state, but he's restoring the church to its original culture. And in this, it's a way of life. And there are so many different cultures out there. There's even cultures in the body of Christ. That's what denominations are. They're different cultures. As everybody understand? But he's restoring one culture. And in this, because he's coming back for a bride, that's one. One. In every area. So would you turn to Matthew 16 with me, please? Matthew 16. I'm sure you've seen the disasters that are happening. Even Nashville has been flooded. Nashville, Tennessee, you know, where all the country music stars, anyways, all their music, everything's being flooded out. I mean, the top of trees are looking like islands. They're not looking like trees. There's so much flood there. It's incredible. That's just a part of what's going on. Then, of course, we have the oil spills. And we've got all kinds of things that are just happening. Anything right now. You know, when the Lord had me start calling fire down on the altars of Satan and pagan worship, and then he said to me, I want you to start severing their financial support. And about 3 weeks later, that oil spill came. And I thought, whoa, what is this, though? But he was sharing with me that there's going to be more disasters. More disasters. In fact, the prophecy for 2010 was going to, one of the parts of the prophecy, where there'd be many blackouts. And then, you know, there are a lot of, I mean, all of Nashville is based, most of Nashville is out of power. I mean, look at everything that's happening right now. And in one of these areas, there's a fight, not only in the spirit realm, but in the cultural realm. You know, the body of Christ is standing up, but the body of Christ sometimes is standing up and doesn't understand what it's fighting for. But it's fighting for its culture. It's fighting for its person, the body itself. In Matthew 16, in verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this should not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. In other words, Jesus turned to Peter and cast out a demon. Everybody got it? Jesus turned to Peter and cast out a demon. He said, get behind me. That means come out and don't stand in front of me. For you are an offense to me, for you are not what? Mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Men. So Jesus casts out Satan, or what we call a demon, from Peter. The demon was trying to interfere with the will of God, promoting human culture of man as rule under darkness, as a life of deception and traditions that promote self. And I'll repeat this again. When Jesus cast out the demon, that demon was trying to interfere with the will of God by promoting the human culture of man as rule under darkness, as a life of deception and traditions that promote self. Matthew 15, verse 1. Matthew 15. And the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions? In other words, because of your culture. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions or your culture. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of who? Men. The commandments of men, traditions of men, or human precepts called human culture. You and I are to deny our human culture. We are to deny our human culture. There's a difference, because we belong to another culture, one culture. In Hosea 5, Hosea chapter 5. Hosea 5 and verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. Therefore I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Now think about one of the areas of human precepts. Or human culture. Human culture fears death. Does everybody understand that? They are afraid of dying. There's a human culture in the area. And when you and I were part of the human culture, God not only rescued me and you from the human culture and from the ways and the rules of under the authority of Satan, but he restored us to have dominion. He restored us into a culture that is one now. And it's not of this realm. It's the culture of another realm associated with the eternal kingdom of God. So in this, the human culture, in other words, they were willing to walk in human precepts. Human culture is of the world and will allow judgment to lives according to human precepts or culture itself. There is an openness to sin and not follow Christ. That's associated with human culture. There is an openness to sin and not follow the ways of Christ. In other words, in this, sin is actually promoted. The human culture promotes sin. Turn on the TV. They promote sin. Listen to some of the music of the secular. It promotes sin. It's a whole nother culture, isn't it? Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26. Would you read it with me? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He was establishing culture. Go to Genesis 2. It was his culture. In verse 15. Then the Lord what? Took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. He was giving him gifts or talents. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He even gave him a diet. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. In this culture, Adam had dominion. Dominion was granted. There was to be fruitfulness and multiplication. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then a rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. This is culture. So we've got Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That is marriage. That's the culture that God created. And they shall become one flesh. This was the original culture. Satan in the original culture was encaged. Man was in the image of God, male and female. They were blessed. They were to be blessed and be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. They were eating the food of provision. There was fellowship with God. And man and woman were joined to be husband and wife and have family. The fall caused a split in the culture, and righteousness and wickedness now became two cultures. Then the Tower of Babel calls multiple cultures when God came down and changed their language. And multiple cultures and traditions were established. Does everybody understand? So the original culture was only through that period of time. And God is restoring not only the church, but the original culture again. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Come on, read it with me. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You've got to remember the days of Noah was a wicked culture, wasn't it? For in the days before the flood, they were what? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, people were marrying men, men, women, women, whatever. It was just didn't matter. Multicultures marrying multicultures. And did not know in verse 39 until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. All these cultures and the culture that we're in now as in the days of Noah. We are in those cultures right now, but there's only one culture amongst all these other cultures that is the true one, which is being restored to its original state. Does everybody understand? Look at where we're at right now. Look at how many areas of congregations that are promoting same-sex marriage. Man, I talked to a gentleman on the phone today who called for his son. And he'd been a believer for 30 years till today. He realized he wasn't one. He thought he'd been a believer, but he realized today he wasn't. And he realized that he was lost, thinking that he'd always been saved. And he never heard this doctrine. 30 years, never heard the true doctrine of Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? Why? Because he was of another culture. Is everybody okay? But I'm telling you, when I got off that phone today, and then later on when the Lord said to me, one culture, I realized what was happening. God is rescuing the people from multiple cultures in the body of Christ to bring them into one, his culture, to its original state. The Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Yes, that teaching of breaking cultural ties is important. But we're not talking about breaking cultural ties today. We're talking about the one culture that Jesus is bringing into effect right now. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. So you and I were of another culture, but he brought his culture. And when he joined us together, he began to remove our culture so that his culture would have prominence. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One culture in Christ, righteousness and holy by the Spirit in relationship to the Father. In Ezekiel 11, Ezekiel chapter 11. Praise you, Lord. In verse 17. Now, you know, when God's talking about Israel, he's also talking about the body. And he says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, or from the what? Other cultures. Assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart. In other words, we will have one heart. For there is one heart, one culture, one Lord, and one Spirit. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart of heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, in other words, human culture, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So we see here that the Lord said, I'm going to gather them from all cultures and give them one heart and one spirit and a new spirit to walk with a new culture. And they'll become the people of one God. One culture, one spirit, and one Father. A culture of one standard way of life. A culture of one standard way of life. In Colossians 3. You know, when you begin to reflect on the area of your life, as you came in Christ and you got filled with the Spirit and God began to remove certain things from you, especially from your cultures, you know, things that were inherited down and how certain, you know, there's certain labels on certain cultures that are associated with your last name or whatever, you know. And as you break those off of your life, you become a part of a new culture. Even the certain foods and certain things and whatever. And it doesn't mean you've got to change everything around, but, you know, if you've got a family that's got a history of diabetes, why eat the same way? If you got a history of a family that eats of heart disease, why are you still eating the same way? Because you're still a part of the old culture. Does everybody understand? You know, God is providing a healthy culture now. There's a healthy way. Things are changing. People are being more curious and more convicted in their life about what they eat and what they do. Because God is restoring one culture. Not according to traditions of men, but according to the culture of the King. The original culture. In Colossians 3, is everybody there in verse 1? Would you read it with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth or the culture of the earth, human cultures. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore what? Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What cultures are that? That ain't from my dad's cultures. That's from the world, the human culture. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. He will destroy all other cultures but one, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to what? Put off all these things associated with these cultures, which is what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. And have put on the what? New man, who is renewed in the what? Knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. One culture of knowledge pertaining to another realm of life. Does everybody got this? Grab hold of this, catch this. It's one culture of knowledge that pertains to another realm of life, not according to human culture. Everything of the human culture, the original culture God created, is opposite. Or a man who is exalted, God doesn't look at that. He looks at the man who is humble. Where the world looks at the money and the fame, God is looking at the one who's humble and a servant. There's a difference. It's a different culture. It's the original culture. One has a relationship with the king. It has one that's known as a son or a daughter. One that's not bound to this realm, but is a culture of like-mindedness and like-heartedness with not only Christ, but with one another. It's a different culture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now when you read this, you're going to see a whole different thing. Because what he's talking about is not just the world, but he's talking about the human culture who is under the rule of Satan. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with unbelievers, or as unbeliever from another culture. Yes. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the what? Temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell with them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If they what? If they come out from among them, come out from what? That culture. Come out from your cultures. Come out from human culture. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. One culture, not yoked with human culture, but eternal culture. A new way of thinking, talking, behaving as royal citizens of the eternal kingdom and its culture. It's different. One of the things the enemy does quickly is causes you to think according to human culture instead of the original culture or the eternal one. In Romans 12, that's why you must stay in divine order. Divine order. You can only stay in divine order by the anointing. In Romans 12, in verse 4, is everybody there? Everybody okay? Would you read it with me, please? For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. Wow. So we're all members of one body, one culture, but we all have a different function. But all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then what? Gifts or functions differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teachings, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Does everybody see this? So we see that there's something very important here, and I want to go a little further. He says, but let love be without what? Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is the culture. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is the original culture. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. This is his culture. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now the world doesn't bless those who persecute them. Hello. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the what? Same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the what? Humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, as the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Man, you don't see that in the world. If your enemy is hungry, starve him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with what? Good. That's a whole different culture, man. That's a whole different culture. Hallelujah. One culture, but many functions. Like the human culture, but knowledge and thinking and beliefs and behavior and vision are of one culture. A perpetual state of being is our culture. Yes. Where humans are temporary state of being, but our culture is a perpetual, eternal state of being. Each function carries special gifting. The gift is to express the personality of Christ through you. How many of y'all know that he's got many personalities? Does everybody understand that? It says he can become anything he wants. Do you remember when he appeared to the men that walking down from the, whatever it was? I think it was Damascus. And they didn't know his form. And he appeared to all kinds of people. They didn't know who he was at first. And then we begin to quote scriptures. He allowed them to understand and open their eyes to see. You don't even know when you've entertained Jesus. You might have thought that he was the toll booth attendant. You might have thought that he was just somebody that just haven't appeared somewhere to help you with directions. See, he can become many things because he is. Each and every one of us in the body of Christ carries the personality of Christ. But the gifts are expressing his different personality. Just like a snowflake. Every snowflake is different, isn't it? But it's all cold. They all melt, and if you get enough of them, they can blind you. And they're all made of the same substance, but they have different designs expressing something different, each one. So there are many members, but there are different functions. So God, in this one culture, is expressing himself through this one culture. But he's expressing himself in different arenas, in different areas. You may be a doctor or whatever it is. And what that gift that God has given you, he's expressing himself through it. See, so many people are trying to be somebody that they haven't been called to be. Now, God can change things, can't he? Because, you know, you're looking at somebody that couldn't read. Couldn't read and couldn't study at all. You kidding me? Didn't know the meaning of words. But when Christ slammed me, he put someone in me, his spirit, that can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. So the ability and the talent that you have, Christ wants to express that personality through you. But you must maintain the one culture. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. as each one has received a gift or a talent or ability, minister to it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of what? God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that he may what? Receive the what? That he may receive the glory. Now listen, this is important. It's not just gifts of the Spirit of what I'm talking about, but gifts of talents and abilities from one culture. He wants you to nourish, perfect, and mature these areas of gifting. In a new culture, so his personality can be expressed throughout the world. I will repeat that. One of the things when the Lord said to me, when he said one culture, then he began to share with me about the gifts that he's imparted in his children in this one culture. And he shared that he wants these giftings that he's imparted in you. He wants you to nourish them, and I'll explain all this, perfect and mature these areas of gifting in the new culture that we're in, so his personality can be expressed throughout the world. Trying to minister the gifts of God in a human culture will bring frustration and chaos, because the gifts of the new culture can express his personality. With the old culture of humanism, it causes problems. God does not interrupt himself. Does everybody understand that? So there's a specific time for everything. To nourish that gifting or ability or talent is to feed it with the tree of life. To perfect it is to cut out the human culture attached to the gift. Or else it's going to cause what? Confusion and chaos. And to mature it is to increase its ability and discern any temptation of misuse of the gift. So everybody got this? To mature in this gift is to increase the ability and discernment of any temptation of any misuse of this gift. So you're going to be able to discern when that gift is being misused, because it's being associated with the old culture. That's why in Matthew 7, if you'll go there for a moment, so the Lord wants to nourish, perfect, and mature that gift or ability he's given you. Everybody has at least one of these giftings, if not more. Abilities and talents. Not only do you have the gifts of the Spirit, but he also wants you to nourish, perfect, and mature those areas. You know, just because you get a feeling about something doesn't mean you do it. If your feet are hot, it doesn't mean you're going to go stand on somebody. Hello. Everything is done in divine order. You are never led by how you feel. I want to share something with you also. Now, this may sound strange to you, but be careful about the first voice you hear, because the first voice you hear is usually not God. Hello. Has everybody got it? Usually the first voice you hear to go do something isn't God. It's usually the enemy stepping in quickly. Because when the Lord speaks, he doesn't push. It's like somebody just brushed off your shoulder. And you usually have to seek that through what? Wait a minute, now what? Go to this! That's not usually how he speaks. And remember, God never interrupts himself. That's just the human desire that wants to do something because it has a feeling. Does everybody understand? There's a difference. Why? Because that gift has got to be nourished, perfected, and matured. Is everybody okay? In Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you know why? Because they were using the gifts, but they were misusing them. Does everybody understand that? They were misusing the gifts with human culture are a misuse. Only the wise build on the spirit of the eternal culture. Look at what he says over here. Is everybody there in verse 24? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the what? Rock. That rock means spirit, which is an establisher of the one culture. So God is restoring, he's returning not only the church to its original state, but to the one culture, its original culture. Again, gifts that are established or trying to perform in a human culture or associated with the human culture of thinking, of reasoning, and all the other things associated with the human culture are misuse of the gift. Let me give you an example. How many people are gifted with music? You know how many people that are gifted with music become a believer, but they try to go about the music with human culture. And it's actually a misuse of the gift. It's amazing to me in how many believers that are gifted with music are still going to nightclubs and playing. Now, if they went in a nightclub to worship the Lord, praise God. But they're still playing human culture music. It's different. So the gifting that God has given us, the gift that he's imparted, and listen, there are areas where you don't even fully understand what gift he's given you yet. There's maybe a sense. And then one of the things is because he's nourishing it, he's perfecting it, and he's maturing it so it can come to the surface and you can grab hold of it. That's why you must stay in divine order. And divine order and divine position is only established by the anointing. Remember, the word exposes it, tells you about it, but only the anointing keeps you there. That's why he said, and I will give them a new spirit, then they will obey my statutes and do them. But the enemy's going to always sway. And while you're in these giftings, believe me, these individuals that Jesus said, look at, depart from me, I don't know you, they started off well. They started off in the original culture. They started off doing it, but then they began to sway and got involved in the worldly culture with godly gifting. And see, so many people are always looking at the gifting. People chase gifts. Oh, there's prophecy, run there. Listen, if you could hear God yourself, you wouldn't need prophecy. People are running from one thing to another forever. Oh, God is here, God is there. No, he's right there, man. He's supposed to be in you. But we know that there is a corporate impartation, and it's wonderful. You know, if the glory of God, the cloud of glory is somewhere, I want to go there. But people so many times chasing gifts. Do not chase gifts. You chase the Lord. Because that gifting, and I'm telling you, I've seen giftings that were done out of human culture. And people thought they were getting blessed, but they didn't realize what they were receiving. And I have turned around and shook that stuff off and left those places. And don't associate with them. And it's because people are so hungry for the things of God, and the enemy knows it, that they begin to not discern. And they're all chasing a word. I need a word. I got a word. Repent. And quit chasing the gift. Quit chasing the prophecy. Quit chasing the words of knowledge. Quit chasing all of these things. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit and get it. Yes, there are special times and special occasions, but there are people that jump from church to church to church looking for a word. If they would just get home in the closet and pray, they would get it. That's human culture, reasoning. Are you listening? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, we're to be chasing the King. We are fighting for His presence. Because isn't His presence, there's always an answer. It's yes or no. It's a rebuke, a conviction. It's tighten up, you know. It's, what are you doing? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. One culture. Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, or you're conforming yourself to the former lusts of the what? Human culture. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, which is what kind of culture? Human culture. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And that's where we stand. Gird your loins with the mind. Rest upon the plan of God, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And stay out of human culture. Maintain the original culture so that you may multiply and be fruitful with dominion and that one culture of the eternal kingdom. Each gift can be effectively developed only through a structure that maintains relationship through mutual accountability. I want to repeat that. Each gift can be effectively developed only through a structure that maintains relationship through mutual accountability. In other words, everybody's accountable to one another. And I want to close at 2 Peter chapter 1. Accountability. Well, I'm accountable to God. That's good. But God requires that we be accountable to one another. That's called divine order. That's called divine positioning. In verse 5, would you read it? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. To knowledge what? Self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the original culture. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call or your function or the giftings and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? Stumble. If you maintain the original culture, you won't stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Everybody got it? One culture. One God, one Spirit. Many members of one culture, but different functions, different giftings. And the Lord wants these giftings to be get nourished, perfected, and matured so that His personality can be expressed through them all. Whatever, if you're a chef, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do in the area of what function, hello, because there's many of them. There's many giftings. You could be a plumber. It doesn't matter. That is what God has gifted you with, the abilities to do these things. You know, there isn't too many plumbers that can do electrical work. Whew. I wouldn't want to flush that toilet. You get a hot seat. But everybody has a specific gift or function he's given. But they are expressed only when they are associated with the original culture. Only then can the character of Christ, the personality of Christ, express himself. Other than that, there's confusion, frustration, and chaos. So you may be finding yourself having to really let go of a lot of things. A lot of these traditions and so forth that are associated with how we used to think according to human culture, react according to human culture, respond according to human culture, do things according to human culture. It is different. So many people miss the blessing of God. I see so many people miss what God is trying to do with them because they can't let them go of human culture and that fear. See, fear is associated with the human culture, not with the original culture. There was no fear in there until they fell. So many people miss what God is trying to do. So whatever the Lord is dealing with you and letting go of the human culture, so that you maintain that original culture or get back to the original culture, let it happen in your life. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask for your forgiveness of every area of human culture in our life. The fallen culture. But we ask, Lord, that you'll restore to us and bring us into that place of the original culture that we may have dominion, be fruitful and multiply, and allow the giftings that you've blessed us with and the abilities to express your personality wherever we go and bring glory to your name. I pray a blessing over each and every one as you continue to draw them to you, Lord. Snare their enemies in their own nets. and bring glory to your name as they express your personality in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.